We have everything it takes to win.
We got us a game five tonight. Cavs, Pacers. Jim's Jones chimes in on the new guys that helped out in that win at Indianapolis.
Yeah, the new kids, Clarkson, Hood, and Nance, I thought they all played well, but they had been getting better. It wasn't reflective in the stats, but they just seemed more comfortable, and they were making plays other than just scoring. And then they started scoring in the fourth game, and it was needed.
Mike Fratello on the win and his observations from Sunday.
I think we've seen the adjustments have taken over now, and we have to give credit to J.R. Smith coming in and locking down all the deep ball a little bit after the first two games where the youngster averaged 27 points in games one and two, coming back now and holding him to just 17 points on 10 of 35 shooting in games three and four. So J.R. along with Green doing his time on Oladipo have slowed him down a little bit. We've gotten better defensively, and it starts with effort. We're up into the more. We're being more physical. We're being more aggressive. We're not making passes as easy as they were. And when you force turnovers and get teams to play a little bit faster than they want to, that's a good thing. Down the stretch, we held on in a close game that was a very, very important game, game number four, to even the series back up. So now we turned it into best two out of three with the advantage in the Cavs' favor as far as home court.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
Wills Ways to Save, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news in. This time, every day, we've gotten an item for you that Matt's done some research on. And this week, I love the theme. He's doing smart life ways to save, using tech to help improve our lives. We've had some headsets. Yesterday, we had the robo thing that went around the house and cleaned. Now, let's talk pillows this morning. I'm convinced people waste millions of dollars buying pillows. Forget softness, firmness, just temperature. And you've helped with that this morning. Tell me the deal.
Oh, it's an unbelievable, oversaturated, overpromised, messed up industry. I test so many products. And what people will do to try and get you to buy a pillow these days is ridiculous. And if you're listening right now and you've heard ads for those pillows on infomercials and everyone's asking me to test the MyPal, the MyPet pillow, the pillow, I'm telling you, we've run sleep tests and focus groups. And there is one pillow right now, which is in use by most five-star hotels in the world. It is produced very frequently based on how many they sell by the thousands. And I want to just remind everyone right now that we spend at least a third of our life in bed. And for the deep sleep to occur, that deep REM sleep, our body needs to drop at least 1 degree. You cannot get into deep sleep unless your body temperature is lowered by 1 degree. And there's one pillow on the market that utilizes the technology that we're talking about on the Smart Tech Week, where there's pillow research technology built into the pillow itself, and that it always stays cool. It's ultra supportive, ultra firm, 240 thread count, 100% cotton, allergen, commercial free. It has everything that you want, but it also keeps your body cool. So when you're flipping the pillow to find that cool spot, it does that. But Bill, it's doing it at an insane price today. I think there's a pricing error, so I'm going to tell everyone to buy it really fast.
Okay, all right.
The pillow is usually $100.
Yeah.
I found it for $39.
Wow.
And for some strange reason, if you buy and add two to your cart, it drops an additional $10.
Well, you need a couple in the bed. You need one in the bedroom, too. Okay, good. Wow. I love it. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save, a great pillow for you. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save, as we're using the tech and the smart life this week on Will's Ways to Save. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past on WTAM 1100.
Bill, the forecast called for rain all night, so there was no reason to delay the start of the 6:10 first pitch at Progressive Field. Cubs and the Tribe going at it. Unfortunately, they did play this one because Josh Tomlin just did not have it.
The 2-1, and he rifles one to deep right. It's way out of here. Boy, does he love this ballpark.
That's Kyle Schorber, and that was the first of two home runs that he would hit. The Cubs would rack four home runs off of Tomlin in just less than four innings of work as Chicago would roll to a 10-3 win. Tomlin has now yielded a league-leading eight home runs in the early going of the season. What's wrong with Josh? Manager Terry Francona says,
when he's really good, he's commanding. You know, he'll run his cutter in on the lefties, spin his breaking ball, throw his changeup, and really command and stab the middle. Seems like right now when he makes a mistake, catching too much of the plate.
Yeah, and they are making him pay. It was just a dreadful night, and put it in your out of your mind and move on is all you can do. And they will. Game two of the series tonight at 7:10, and we'll have it for you on 100.7 WMMS as it will be Trevor Bauer taking on John Lester in game two of the series as the Tribe tries to bounce back tonight. Now, tonight on WTAM 1100, we'll have game five of the series between the Cavaliers and the Pacers, a series that's tied to two. LeBron has been trying to do it all, and Kyle Korver knows that the guys around him got
to
help.
We try to put the best player in position to be the best player in the world. That's how we play. And so there's a lot on his shoulders. But, you know, this is a team sport. You got to have everybody playing well, and you got to have everybody executing.
Yeah, one guy cannot get it done by himself. Cavs-Pacers, Game 5 tonight at 7. We'll have it for you right here. The Sixers have advanced to the next round as they beat the Heat 4-1, winning in Philly last night. Celtics have the edge now over Milwaukee. They've gone up 3-2 in that series, while Golden State has moved on to the conference semifinals. They took care of the Spurs last night. Golden State will meet New Orleans in the next round with Game 1 on Saturday. Still don't know if Steph Curry will be ready for that one. Now, after checking numerous mock drafts yesterday were the eve of the draft. The consensus right now, the mock draft seems to be the Browns will take Sam Darnold at one and then end up with defensive end Bradley Chubb of North Carolina State with that fourth pick. That's the consensus as of last night as I peruse things. Now, there are four quarterbacks that are in the mix. UCLA's Josh Rosen is the long shot. We'll take a closer look at him. Many say he's the best pure passer of this bunch. That's coming up at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Bill Zimfer joins me on a couple of stories this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. President Trump busy at the White House with the French president, and we've still got this summit with North Korea, too, which will be very historic. Bill, good morning. What's the latest?
Yeah, it will. As a matter of fact, they're going to hold a rehearsal today to go over security measures at Panmunjom, where this summit will take place on Friday. And it is historic for a number of reasons. First off, the leaders of North and South Korea will be meeting face-to-face for the first time, Moon Jae-in and Kim Jong-un. It's the first leadership summit since 2007 in Korea, and only the third time the leaders of the two countries have met since 1950. For Kim Jong-un, it'll be his first trip into South Korea. He'll make that crossing on Friday at about 10 a.m. And it really is an event that the world is watching. Over 2,800 journalists will cover this event, and some of the things that will be covered during the talks on Friday: denuclearization of the peninsula, inter-Korean relations, and a possible peace treaty. So a lot to go over there, and a lot at stake here. If these talks do not go well, it could set off a ripple around the rest of the world, Bill.
I saw a piece on this the other night. It's like a small little house almost that sits right there, right on the line, and the two countries over the years, when they've had to exchange prisoners or whatever, that's where they go. They meet in this room, right?
Yeah, it is the Peace House on the southern side of the Panmunjom village there along the demilitarized zone. So that will be the venue for this meeting. And as you might imagine, construction is underway. They're trying to spruce everything up, red carpets all over the place. They're trying to make this into the historic event that it really should be.
As it plays out, our Bill Zimfer on this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome.
All right, 5:24, and President Trump at the White House yesterday with the leader of France, and a lot has been made about fashion, of course, as the leaders get together, the First Lady of the United States, Melania, with her white hat yesterday, getting a lot of talk on social media. What else? Trump, Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire alongside, she comes out in this hat. Twitter goes nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they went crazy.
Nuts. So you've posted a beautiful white suit she's got on. You've got that posted at WilsonCenter.com,
yes,
right?
And you could see her leave her hat on.
little Joe Cocker. A couple awkward moments. I thought it was awkward. Trump was trying to hold her hand.
Right, his fingers.
She kept kind of, no. And then Macron was like, at one point, trying to raise Trump's hand like together.
Right.
And Trump wasn't going to have any of that. And then Trump like dusted something off his jacket.
Dandruff.
Said it was dandruff.
He had a little bit of dandruff.
That's a little insulting.
Yeah, a little dandruff.
To the leader of France.
But they're giving a lot of man crush to these two guys because they're doing a lot of high fiving,
fist pumping,
giving pats on the back, the double kiss on the cheeks, and so.
So
he's having fun.
Melania
so.
With the hat on, check that out.
Yes,
it is at WillsandSnyder.com. Okay, Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, with me on a couple of stories here, including the lawsuit. This has nothing to do with the wall or anything else. This is the Democrats suing when it comes to collusion or the thought or the theory that there was collusion with the Russians. Alex?
Apparently, the Republican Party and Donald Trump committed a crime. They won the election.
Right.
And that's not acceptable. So, no, the DNC is suing the Russians. It's suing the Trump campaign for collusion, of course, for hacking, a conspiracy to hack to the DNC and undermine American democracy. So it's not being taken very seriously by the press. David Axelrod has said it was spectacularly ill-timed. Even Congresswoman Jackie Speier, liberal Democrat from California, says not a great idea.
All right, so whoever thought of this, maybe they just thought they'd get in the news cycle and, oh, by the way, maybe help raise some money?
Help raise some money, intensify the Democratic base. This is all about being anti-Trump. That's what the Democratic Party is all about now. They have an election today in Arizona, the 8th Congressional District. They're trying to stimulate that base. Of course, this does create a few problems for the DNC because the best evidence of collusion between a political party and the Russians is that the DNC colluded with the Russians. The DNC are the ones who laundered money through a law firm to pay Fusion GPS to hire a British spy to dig up dirt from the Russians on Donald Trump. So they may end up having to sue themselves here.
Sadly, you just seem like you can't make this stuff up. All right, Alex Castellanos says it all plays out. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Also today, Supreme Court will hear arguments on Trump's travel ban and the man accused of opening fire at that Waffle House in Tennessee early Sunday morning. He'll be in court charged with 4 counts of criminal homicide. A few of the stories we'll be following for you today on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Trump nominee Michael Bauer in this morning on that and a couple other stories. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Bill. Good morning to you. Yeah, it seems as though whistleblowers have made the allegations to Senate Veterans Affairs Committee regarding excessive drinking by Ronnie Jackson, the guy who President Trump was hoping would step into that Veterans Affairs position. Also, a negative work environment. And according reports from CNN this morning, White House members used to refer to, or continue to refer to, I guess, depending on how you look at it, Dr. Jackson as the candy man, handing out prescriptions like candy, some of those prescriptions including Adderall. And now this is developing, this Ronnie Jackson story, into something way bigger, because we're talking about a guy who's active military, and these are some serious violations he's being accused of. Not only could it jeopardize his nomination, this could jeopardize his career, medical license, and more.
Wasn't he the guy that thought Trump could live to be 150, and he's just amazing, and it's that guy, right?
It's that guy who said that if he had just stopped eating fast food, he could live to be about 200 years old. Yeah, and this is a guy who the president felt was not only trustworthy and a great person, but was definitely worth this position from somebody in the military background. And then yesterday in statements, not only reiterated that, but then also came back and said Jackson needed to step aside, kind of giving him an out, if you will, if Jackson wanted to step away from the nomination process.
This VA job has been a problem, not just for Trump, Obama as well. I mean, it's a hard thing to run.
It is, and they say that it is one of the most, one of the most overwhelming positions to be in just because of the size of it and the budget involved in it, and that's why you need to have somebody who has some sort of experience running huge organizations. This was one of the big concerns with Ronnie Jackson before all this whistleblowing information came out and was probably going to be the focus of all of the hearings that were set to start today, now delayed indefinitely.
Michael Bauer with the latest. Thanks, Michael.
You got it, Bill. Have a great
night. Bill Wills, we're on your money, and what's happening right now with this volatility in the stock market? Kevin Myroff joins me this morning from NCA Financial Planners. We don't normally just look at a day, but look, we dropped 424 yesterday, so I wanted to have you on. It started out with some excessive volatility with the Dow dropping.
Your read, you talked a lot of money people. What is this all about? What's causing this, Kevin?
You know, Bill, we see three things causing it. I've been predicting for a while that spring and summer were going to be volatile because we've had so little volatility in 2017. But 2018 is coming back a little. Three things now are bothering the market, and these are going to change over the summer, and the volatility will continue. But right now, the looming possibility of U.S. trade wars with China, rising bond yields, the first time since 2014, the 10-year bond yield got over 3%. That spooks the markets because they start worrying about inflation. And then the last thing is the potential of a more aggressive Federal Reserve. If the Federal Reserve is looking at the bond yield and thinking inflation may be coming in, then they're going to more likely raise interest rates. They're going to raise it three times this year. Maybe they're going to go to four times, and inflation sort of scares the market.
So that sounds like glass half empty. How about glass half full? Anything good you're seeing this week?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good things, too. Corporate earnings have been doing very well for the first quarter and all last year. And most economic data is really, really solid now. And so it's a really strange backdrop. You know, the market's looking for a reason to go down because it's gone up for such a long time. And it finds the worry of the day, the worry du jour. And there's lots of things out there. And so, you know, people should watch this closely. If you worry long enough, then perception could become reality. But the backdrop we see is fairly strong. And so we don't think any see anything contagious that's going to cause a major bear market or downturn at this time.
All right, here's just a Will's observation. Dow drops 424 yesterday. I saw a story last night. They call them the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google all reported losses in value yesterday. But with all due respect to Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, they create nothing. They simply share information and sell advertising and entertain me with movies, you know?
That's right. They don't have any products.
Right.
And companies, you know, Caterpillar announced yesterday with crazy good earnings.
Right.
Their stock went down like 8 or 9% just because the market, you know, was going down. But they actually make something.
Yeah, well, we're out building things. Those companies are doing great. Okay. Well, let me get back to earth here. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners. We as I said at the beginning, you and I don't normally talk about a daily swing, so get me back to earth on my 401k. Should I change anything?
Right, you know, so and you guys have heard this a million times from me. I go back to what I call the three R's: relax, reevaluate, and reallocate. So don't let the doomsayers that you might hear in the media scare you to death now, because they're going to start coming out in droves. Reevaluate your portfolio. If you were going to have 60% in equities and 40% in bonds, and you got more aggressive over the last couple of years because equities have done so good, so you're 80% in equities and only 20% in bonds,
right,
then maybe it's time to reallocate. Go back to where you should be. And if you're in a 401k plan, keep in mind, when the market's going down, you have money going in every month, and you're buying shares at a lower cost, and you don't need that money to retire. So if you have a 10, 15, 20-year time horizon, just ride through this. Try not to watch too much television.
So worry more about Game 5 and who the Browns are going to take Thursday night. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners, thanks for holding our hand this week. Here.
You bet. Have a great day, everybody.
While you're eating in a great atmosphere. Have you been to Brasa Steakhouse? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If not, you ought to get there. And our iHeart Deal of the Week this week is Brasa downtown. And Lori and Enrique kind enough to join us in the studio. Good to see you guys, first of all. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
Nick. Saw Enrique a couple weeks ago over at the other restaurant, shall we say.
Our that's sister, in the family. Mallorca.
Our sister, Mallorca, had lunch. It was absolutely delicious. But we're here to talk about Brasa, which is, Lori, when it and I mentioned this, when it comes to the experience of dining, which we're blessed with so many great restaurants, which I think is a wonderful part of downtown and Cleveland. But when you want to have an experience, you want to have fun, I think that's when I think of Brasa. I really do.
It absolutely is. It's more than just food. It's actually, we were the first to bring the concept of the Brazilian churrascaria to Cleveland. And it is. It's a very fun environment. We have gauchos that come to the tables. It's just, first of all, make sure you're hungry when you come, but also make sure you're hungry for fun, because it's just a lot of fun to be there.
Yeah, Enrique, so many of us are becoming foodies, too. We love learning about food, and Brasa, I think, is a nice place to do that, too.
Brasa is authentic Brazilian fair. We have 25 salad bar items plus our lobster bisque and 13
lobster bisque.
13 to 15 cuts of meat, including our a parmesan crusted filet mignon, beef ribs, pork ribs, lamb chops, all you want. It's a carnival of meats and festivities.
1300 West 9th Street, Cleveland's historic warehouse district. Laura, it's a great spot for if you've got people coming into town, business, pleasure, a date, whatever. It can be a fun night, right?
It absolutely is. And the nice thing is the warehouse district was the first neighborhood, really, in the city of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to come down and just kind of tour the neighborhood and then stop and have some meat and eat all you want and then tour the neighborhood again to try to walk off some of that food that you just gorged on.
Enrique, you are part of the experience. You and the staff make it so fun, too. You love the people that come in. You love talking about the food. It's really a fun experience, Brian. Congratulations.
It is the product is excellent. We try to give out our best service to this beautiful city that's embraced us with all the love. And we are, by the way, we are going to be open from 12 to 8 on Mother's Day at Barraza.
Oh, think ahead. That's right. Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is coming. It's looming sooner than later. Yes. 12 to 8 o'clock. And like I said, it's a slice of Brazil in this beautiful city.
And make get a reservation for Mom's Day.
Get
that done, right?
That's right.
Okay. iHeart Deal of the Week. If you go to WTAM.com, we've set aside a $50 Brasa Grill gift certificate for you. The iHeart Deal that you can buy for just $25. So we're going to save you some money, too, but have a wonderful restaurant experience and have fun at Brasa. Now, over at Majorca, just real quick, there is an experience tomorrow night in the dark.
Yes, tomorrow night we have our Dine in the Dark, which is wine and dine in the dark. It is a really fun experience. It's something that's never been done in Cleveland except for by Majorca. And if you're interested, give us a call.
Okay, so that's not the iHeart Deal. That's over at Majorca. But I just wanted to mention that, though, because that's a fun event. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys do a great job. All the different restaurants. Laurie, Enrique, good seeing you guys. Thanks.
Likewise. Thank you.
Brasa Grill, the iHeart Deal of the Week, WTAM.com. Keyword deals update.
1, 2, 3,
Cavaliers update on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers, brought to you by Huntington Bank, one of bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Phil Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Fox Sports' Allie Clifton joined us. Hi, Allie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Game 5 tonight. George Hill, back spasms. Any chance he plays tonight? What do we know?
We will find out, I think, more so as shoot-around develops this morning, as well as kind of the day kind of goes on. I'm sure he'll want to go through some warm-ups. See how he responds at shoot-around this morning. He was on the court, did some light shooting yesterday. It was a very light practice for the Cavs. A lot of film. They were able to get on the floor and go through a walkthrough and get some shots up, to which George did a lot of that. However, he does remain questionable, so we'll just have to keep an eye on it as the day continues to unfold.
Allie, a big win, obviously, in Game 4. Great to see others step up, like Kyle Korver, Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see now if that translates at home. They really have not had a game where they've really just gone out there collectively and shot the ball well, have they?
They haven't, but I think it's something it's hard to understand and comprehend, especially at this time of season, because you really want to be at your peak and you want to be hitting that stride of playing well. But as we continue to say, the Cavs rolled out a full roster Game 1 starting the postseason. And so it's going to continue to be something where not only physically do they have to be ready for what this postseason brings on, but also mentally being locked in and understanding what is expected of each and every guy, their role on both ends of the floor, but also the ability to learn on the fly. And I think as each game comes, we're starting to see more and more guys get more comfortable, have an understanding, as you mentioned. Jordan Clarkson, I think, just as big as Kyle Korver was, there's a lot of expectation with a guy like Kyle, and you're glad to see shots fall for him. But I thought Jordan was huge, especially in that first half, very efficient from the floor, just playing aggressive, kind of like the Jordan we saw when he first arrived in Cleveland. And if he can continue that and other guys start to find their rhythm and way, it's going to be a good thing for the Cavs.
Allie, you look at these two teams. I think the Pacers are talking about they need to have a better start to a game. The Cavs, what goes on in the third quarter? We're all scratching our heads. They've tried different things. They're talking about it. What's your latest take on what the problem has been there?
You know, I think the biggest key for both teams are starts, but when it comes to the third quarter for the Cavs, I think it's their ability to simply just play hard. And play harder right out of the gate. It's kind of how you approach the start of the game, that first quarter. It needs to be the same mentality and mindset. I always say it, and it's something I've learned a lot in this league, is no lead is big enough in the NBA. And so, especially when it comes to the postseason, you can't let up. And I think that takes just as much as playing hard. I think it takes that mental focus, you know, and the ability to kind of stay locked in and understanding that just as big as you are preaching that first quarter to be, the third quarter is just as big, if not bigger, because that's the time where teams make their adjustments. You know, they go into the half and they understand what needs to be made in the second to make runs, to close out games. And so your mental focus has to be just as sharp.
Cavs Pacers game 5 tonight. Cavs now. Nick Camino from the Q, 5:30. Allie Clifton, Fox Sports. Her take. Allie, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
The Indians update brought to you by Falls Motor City. Hi, Hammy.
Good morning, guys.
What did they get? Ten runs on 15 hits last night for Chicago, huh?
Yeah, they've kept obviously a lot of guys back from the 2016 team, and you know, some of those young players like Javi Baez have really started to come into their own. And, you know, we didn't even see the Cubs at full strength with Chris Bryant, you know, probably out for this series after being hit in the head on Sunday with a pitch, and Ben Zobrist on the DL. So, and, you know, that ball club is still loaded, guys. So they're two of the better teams in the major leagues right now with the Cubs in town. And it would have been fun to have had better weather and maybe had this series later in the summer. But, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully tonight the Indians can play a little bit better or pitch better.
Well, Tom, I'm not going to dwell on last night, but as miserable as it was, the ninth inning, I was listening to you, and what a special time that was. Your call of it, Luke Farrell on the mound. Share with us again today, because that was a first for you, right, with Luke out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just probably tells you how old you're getting. I've known little Luke, although not a little anymore, since he was a grade school boy at St. Raphael's there in Bay Village. And, you know his mom and dad really well, and have always been good friends with John, and just think the world of that family. And it's just, you know, there's somebody that spent much of his life growing up in Cleveland and then went to St. Ignatius. And, you know, Luke's gone through a lot of things. He had a mysterious tumor that twice they had to go and do very serious surgery in Boston through his jawline and whatnot, and the things that he has overcome, and now to see him in the major leagues and pitch, you know, the way he did again last night, all these little kids that are dreaming of being major leaguers in Cleveland today, well, Luke was one of them. And it's a reality now, and it'll be neat to see him tonight, because that had to be a special moment for him. I know it was for me. It's just hard to believe. You're like, man, you know, you were calling his dad's games in the early 90s, and, you know, Luke wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, that is something. And the way you put it, though, and you just touched on it now, for any youngster listening, I mean, it can happen. Here's an example. Yep. Right here, right?
You know, and what Luke has done too, Mike and Bill, is he's overcome a lot of obstacles. You know, those medical concerns were real, and it sidelined him for a couple of years, and, you know, knocked him out of college baseball for a while. And, you know, he also went to Northwestern, so I think it gives you an idea. Luke's a pretty intelligent young man, but, you know, how much do you believe in yourself? How much do you want it? And, you know, the good Lord obviously blessed him with talent as well, but he's made the most of it. So, you know, for a rainy, gloomy, kind of ugly night and ball game, that was a highlight for sure.
Yeah, good story. Just one's health, but my goodness, to be throwing Major League Baseball, too, in Cleveland. All right. Tom Hamilton on the Tribe. Tonight we've got the Indians game. Trevor Bauer pitches, and that's a 7:10 start now. 100.7 WMMS will have it for you. Hammy, thanks, partner.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
The take from former Browns GM Phil Savage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director, Sirius XM. He's all over the place the next few days. I'm following you on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter, too, Senior Bowl Phil. Phil, good morning. I think you've been on the ground in Dallas less than 24 hours, and Scooter has already called you. So thank you for the time.
Well, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well. It's great to catch up with you.
What is the latest buzz there about our Browns at one?
You know, I think it really comes down to two quarterbacks. They've put out a lot of different signals, at least through the media, but it's really going to come down to Sam Darnold from USC or Josh Allen from Wyoming. And I think the reality is they've had to look at these quarterbacks through the prism of, okay, what will they – be like in 18 months to 2 years, because I think with Tyrod Taylor in place, it gives them a chance to have some incubation time for a quarterback to develop behind the scenes here in 2018. And, you know, Josh Allen is the biggest, he's the biggest one of these prospects. He's got the most powerful arm. He does fit the division of the AFC North. The drawback is the completion percentage, but he had a lot of drops around him as well. With Sam Darnold, he's probably, I don't want to use the phrase, he's probably the safer option. However, he led the nation in turnovers last year. And here's the quandary, guys, in my estimation. The Browns as an organization traded away from Carson Wentz 2 years ago, traded away from Deshaun Watson last year, and I'm not sure that any of these quarterbacks are as good as those two. And the Browns are about to have to turn the card in tomorrow night for one of these four signal callers.
Phil, when you look at it, it looks like there are drawbacks with all four, and you mentioned those two. But you do have to have one, as you say, that you look at and you project that you just like best. Is that where Dorsey is at now? We've got to make that call here. All right, we've got to pick one. We go through, we discuss, we argue, we look at tape again as a group, and then come up with one. Is that where they're at now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as they've gone through it, and look, I think John Dorsey, in his own mind, has had the answer for probably 10 days to 2 weeks. He just hadn't told anybody. And the truth of it is they've gone through their evaluations all the way since he got on board as the GM, through the Reese's Senior Bowl and the Combine and all the pro days. I think they've had to look at it through the context of, okay, we don't have to have one of these guys play this weekend, because if that were the case, Baker Mayfield might be the first pick, because he might be the one that has the gamesmanship to just go out there and play. But what they're looking at is where these guys will forecast for 2019. And I tell you, you know, John Dorsey's experience in 2013 as the Chiefs GM, that's notoriously probably the worst draft in the last 10 years, especially at the top. And there was no clear-cut choice to make. The Chiefs opted for Eric Fisher, a left tackle, out of Central Michigan, because they didn't feel like that there was a quarterback to be taken that high. In this instance, I feel certain that it has to be a quarterback because of all the history. And then at pick number four, it appears that they'll take the remaining best prospect between either Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State, who incidentally will be a nice fit with Myles Garrett in terms of the bookend, and or Saquon Barkley if he's still there.
Phil, if you're sitting there at four, if that question would come up, Barkley or Chubb, what would you do?
You know, I think for the Browns, I would say Barkley. I think Barkley is a little better overall player. I think he brings a little bit more dynamic to it because of his running and catching ability. I think he helps your offensive line, which in turn will help the quarterback, which in turn will help your defense. I think the Browns can survive with Emmanuel Ogba rushing opposite of Myles Garrett. But look, if Barkley's off the board and Chubb is there, I think it'll be a pretty easy selection for the Browns.
Phil Savage, follow him on Twitter, Senior Bowl Phil, SiriusXM. I don't think he'll get any sleep over the next 48 hours. Good stuff as always, brother. Thank you so much, Phil. We appreciate it.
We enjoy catching up with you. Hope both of you are doing well, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.